Bibles, let's open up to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And I thank the Lord for helping us. I thank the Lord for everything He's done. And just untell Him what the Lord will do if we'll just be willing to let Him. 1 Kings, chapter 18, you find that place, let's stand together. We give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 1 Kings, chapter number 18, and I just appreciate what the Lord's been doing, and I thank Him for it. And we can't do nothing without Him. We know and understand that. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to start reading in verse 41. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And the Bible says it like this. He said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up, and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Amen. Like a man's hand, he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare the chariot and get thee down. He said, the heaven stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran up before Ahab down to the entrance of Jezreel." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for letting us come to the house of God. And Lord, just one more time. I mean, Lord, if tonight is the last night, that God, that we ever get to assemble together on this side of eternity, I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to say the best thing we ever said about you. Oh, God, I'd ask you, Father, for good liberty tonight to preach. And to God, we know that only comes from heaven above. And God, I pray that one more time, and Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh. And to God, I pray, help me to preach, and God, like I never get to preach again tonight. And Father, we love you, we thank you, and God, I mean it tonight. And Lord, just every day seem like, and God, we just get up, we get to thank it, and just about how good you've been to us. And Father God, I pray, and Lord, that you just help us think about it more. I give you more thanks and more praise, and for you alone are worthy. Ask you all these favors in the lovely name of Christ. I do beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Of course, we come to this passage of Scripture, and most everybody that's spent any time, probably at all in your Bible, is very familiar with 1 Kings chapter number 18. How you understand that they have been in a time of great apostasy, and Baal and Jezebel have came up there, and Ahab, and everybody's a worshiping Baal in these days. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, comes a mighty man of God. I wonder, we don't know really where he came from. All we know is he shows up on the scene, and he's got God on him. Amen. And when he shows up on the scene, he goes up to the Mount of Carmel. You remember 1 Kings, let's look at 18 verse 1. I read this passage to you, then I'll try to preach what I feel like the Lord's laid on our heart. And verse number 1 it said, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go and show thyself unto Ahab." He said, "I will send rain upon the earth." So they've been in a time of great famine. And you remember, friend, I mean, things are looking pretty dry, and they're looking pretty dark in these days. But thank God, I'm glad all of a sudden, just somebody shows up, and they spend a little time with God, and spend a little time, friend, just out on the middle of nowhere, just by the brook, just human God. And now all
of a sudden it comes time and they come up on Mount Carmel. And you remember this story. All the prophets of Baal are there. All the prophetesses are there. And we find Elijah. He feels like he's standing all alone. But thank God, even when we feel like we're alone, I'm glad we are not alone. Amen. And so he stands up there on that place. I like where the Bible says, and he began to repair the altar of the Lord. That's in verse number 30. He repaired the altar of the Lord and was broken down. That took him 12 stones, put it up. He put water on all of that thing. And you remember here in verse 36, he said it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sun, and Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day, thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I've done all these things at thy word. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. I love verse 38. He said, then the fire of the Lord fell. And boy, I got to thinking about this, and I got to thinking about, no doubt, Elijah has just had one of the greatest experiences that has ever been recorded in your Bible. In a time when nobody wanted to stand for right, he stood for right, and God honored it. Amen. In a time when it seemed like that the popular opinion had went away from worshiping the one true God and is worshiping everything else, Elijah just stands and makes a solemn proclamation. I'm sure he wouldn't get voted in a lot of places. Amen. He just stands up there and he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then just follow him. Amen. And if Baal be God, then follow him. I say all that to say this. All of a sudden there's this mountaintop experience, if you will. Heaven, all heaven has came down, and the fire has came down, and God has stamped on their hearts who God really is. Verse 39 said, all the people said it. All the people saw it, rather. They fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Hey, listen, let me say this. Boy, I like this story. If they was one day, I mean, they several days I'd like to have been a part of. But wouldn't you like to have been standing here on this day? When all of a sudden, thank God, I mean, everybody's just going through the motion. And one day God just steps out through this man Elijah. A fire falls from heaven and everybody's got their attention back on the Lord. Amen. Boy, that'd be a good day. I like it when I get to pray about things and God answers the prayer right then. I like it, thank God. When you get along with God, you get to calling on God and God helps you right then. But what about the next chapter? What about the next verses? Hey, here's what I want to preach on tonight. I said all that to say this. I want you to bear in mind that this is the same person. He's praying in the same place. He's got the same amount of prayer with God. And yet when you come to this passage in verse 43, he said, and he said to his servant, and go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and he said, there is nothing. And now listen to me, friend. I want everybody to hear me real carefully. And I'm going to try to preach real slow tonight. If the Lord will help me, all right. But I want you to listen to me. And I want you to hear me carefully. Hey, sometimes, friend, and whenever Elijah's up there and all of heaven just falls down, I mean, it's just like no sooner does he get the words out until God answers his prayer right where he's at. But the same man, he's not got out of fellowship with God. Everybody agree with me right there? I mean, he's not out of fellowship with God in one place. God's still the same. He's still in the same standard. He's still in the same place. But this time when he falls down on his face and prays, and to get up, there's no answer from heaven. This time, now listen to me, friend. God. At this time, when he gets up from his face and he goes back and he starts praying on God, and God does not answer with fire like he did just a few moments ago. And God doesn't rift the heavens like he did just a few moments ago. And boy, I got to thinking about that. And we all like the Mount Carmel. But what are you going to do, friend, when you go pray and there's nothing? Amen. And that's what the Bible said there. He said he went and looked and he said, there is nothing. Amen. Have you been in those times? Hey, God, here's what I think. And now, hey, you just put yourself in there if it's right. I think we have more times when there's nothing than we do when there's Mount Carmel. Amen. And now, I wish that wasn't the case. I mean, thank God, I'd like to be shouting around every day. And that's how it always would go. But the reality is, most of us, more times than not, how we walk in the land of nothing. Amen. I mean, we're going through this thing. And I don't get nervous on me. I understand God's a spirit. I understand he moves on people. But I'm telling you, we walk by faith. Amen. And Elijah gets up there. I don't find where Elijah questions God. I don't find where he feels like his prayer ain't been heard. I don't find where he starts pouting on the Lord. I don't get to see where he starts saying, where's God at? I don't see where he does none of those things. I'll tell you what he does say. He just says, go look again. Amen. If the Lord will help us for a few minutes of time, I want to preach on what you do when there's absolutely nothing going on. Amen. And what you do when there's nothing going on. And we're standing in that place sometime, and we're praying and praying, and my friend, and praying and fasting, and you shed your tears, and I'm talking about praying, and you get to get calling on God, and yet there's nothing. And then you go back the next day, and you call on God again, Chase, and you're pouring your heart out to God, and there's nothing. Amen. And then you pray again, and you pray again, and the next day turns into a week, and the week turns into a month, and the month turns to a year, and you're standing in there in that place, and the whisperer starts to show up, and the whisperer starts to whisper it, and he said, where's God at now? I'm telling you what Elijah said to do, and just go look again. Amen. And just go look again. Thank God. I'll tell you, friend, this, I want you to understand, hey, some things in this scripture that I had never got a hold of. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever preached on this particular text, but I want you to watch what your Bible says here. How the Lord of God said in verse 42, he said, so Ahab went to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Let's just look right here. Y'all agree with me? That's a serious prayer. Amen. I mean, this is Elijah. He's trying to get a hold of God. He went up to the highest place he could, and he got as low as he could when he got there. I'd say that's a pretty good posture to try to get a hold of God. But I want you to watch what we find. He said, whenever he done that, heading to verse number 43, he said to his servant, he said, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went and he looked up, and he looked and he said, there is nothing. I thought about this. Part of our problem in our day is we want it sometimes sooner than what God wants to give it to us. Amen. I mean, I want you to listen to me. It's a good. I thank God. Now, we live in a microwave age. Everybody understands that. And we live in a time whenever you go to a McDonald's drive-thru and they've got a 2-minute clock on there from the time you start to the time you get out. And that has weaseled its way into the house of God. And where we come in the house of God and we want to pray about today and we want to receive it before the day's over with. Amen. But what about that scripture over there where it says, after you have need of patience, after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Amen. I mean, what about that scripture over there where it says, they that sow in righteousness, I mean, the book of Galatians said, be not deceived, and God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, and shall he also reap, for he that soweth to the flesh, and shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, and shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I mean, listen to me, friend. There's a sowing process. Amen. I want you to hear me. We want things sometimes sooner. And you say, boy, listen, I'd like to have it. And I'd like to have it right now. Well, you might not can handle it right now. Amen. Let's just be real. Amen. You might not can handle what you're praying for right now. But I'll tell you this, thank God. That don't stop me from praying for it, amen. Hey, some things I'm going to pray for. Hey, some people I'm going to pray for. I got to thinking about this. I mean, I've been trying to be faithful to the Lord for a pretty good while. And the preacher Savage, there's some people that I've been praying for over 30 years. I mean, I try to pray for them every time I pray. Every time, Brother Dustin, I try to call out those same names to God. And you say, preacher, don't look like nothing's happening. And what you mean to say is don't look like nothing's happening yet. Amen. I mean, nothing's happening yet. Thank God. I mean, now listen, I know sometimes. Thank God. Amen. Praise God. I could run a little bit right there. I mean, sometimes, friend, it does not look like nothing's happening. But all of a sudden, then something happens. Amen. And when something happens, you say, where'd that come from? Amen. Well, I'll tell you, thank God. I don't know if you know this or not. I know most of you do. You've heard me say it before. You've read in your Bible before. But you understand in heaven, right now, there's only a few things that leaves from this world and goes to the next world. Only very few things. I mean, you've got your soul, of course. When you come time to die, leaves this world and goes to the next world. According to the book of Psalms, there's a bottle of tears. I don't know how to tell you how to explain it to you. All I can tell you is he said, thou puttest my tears in a bottle, thou tellest my wanderings. That's what sweet psalmist of Israel said. But what about over there whenever God in the book of Revelation looks and he said, these bowls, he said, these are the prayers of the saints. I mean, listen, aren't you thankful tonight? And now there's a lot of things may not go on. I mean, they may not continue on day after day after day. But I'm glad, thank God, when I bow my head and I get a hold of God for it. I get to cry it out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, thank God, how long after I'm dead and buried, there's a God in heaven that has not forgot the prayers. There's a God in heaven, friend, that'll still honor every one. He's seen every tear. He's heard every word. And thank God there's a God in heaven that'll honor the prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And so you just keep on praying. Amen. Thank God. Keep on praying. He said, just go again. Amen. I got this, Brother Joshua. I want you to listen. And Brother Kevin, I never got a hold of this till I'm talking about just in the last few days. How many times did he go look again? Let me ask you this. And now I want everybody to listen to me. How many times did he go look again? I'd say if you read what it says, it said he went and looked 7 times. Amen. But now hold tight, neighbor. He had already looked one time before he is told to look 7 times. And the last time I checked, that 7 plus 1 equals 8. Amen. That means, thank God, he said, go look. Hey, something new on the way. Amen. And they hadn't heard from heaven. And they hadn't seen no rain. Praise God, it's feeling a lot better to me. Amen. 3.5 years, hadn't seen nothing. Amen. And all of a sudden, they just kept going and looking again. I thought whenever he said, go look again, and he just went over there. I don't know how long he had to travel. Don't know how far away that he was. But I just know he said, go look again. And he said, well, I believe I'll go look again. And then he comes all the way back and he says, hey, there ain't nothing. He said, go again. Thank God. He said, well, I'll just go again. And he came back. And he said, they still ain't nothing. I said, you ain't seeing a cloud. And no, I ain't even seeing a fog. I said, you ain't seeing no wetness in the air. I've said, no, it's the bluest day I've ever seen. There's not a cumulus cloud anywhere. There's not a light and fluff. There's only sun. He said, go again anyhow. I'm telling you, listen, friend. Sometimes you get to go and praying about faith time and time again. And before very long, you get discouraged because you ain't seen nothing. But oh, thank God. He topped that hilltop on that 8th time. Amen. And whenever he climbed up out of where he was, I got up on that hilltop. I looked over in the distance and said, well, I see something, and it's about the size of my hand. Oh, listen, friend. I'm telling you, say, what is that, preacher? That's to tell you and I that thank God God's doing something, even when it looks like he ain't doing nothing. Amen. Hey, sometimes it just pays to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. He said, listen, sometimes we want it sooner than what we want. Bible, to watch what your Bible says here. He said, go up now. And he went. And he said, there's nothing. He said, go again. Sometimes, I thought, sometimes we want it sooner. And sometimes we want it bigger. But watch what the Bible said. I like big answers, don't you? Well, I like it. Well, and when God does, now listen, I'm a little slow. And so there's times I need God to do big things. And because I can't pick up on, I'm so used to looking out for big things. And I can't pick up on little things. Amen. But I tell you, God didn't send a big cloud. God sent a little cloud. Amen. I'd say if everybody looked up there at it, Brother Rick, they'd say, man, I'd say that cloud there looks awful small. But listen to me. I want you to tune in right here and stay with me, all right? Here's what I want you to see. How that little cloud was just the start. Hey, was more coming behind it. Amen. How the Bible said before they had finished that, it said that teaches us that the whole skies were black with night. Hey, you know, he said there's a sound abundance of rain. Amen. Boy, I like that terminology. Don't you like that, Brother Ashman? Thank God. Hey, listen, on the front end, it didn't look like it was going to be too much. But thank God before that thing was said and done, it was going to be, listen, friend, I'm talking about it's going to be a golly washer, amen. I mean, it's going to be rough down that neck of the wood. All of a sudden, they get down at that place. He said, you better get up. There's more rain coming. And what you know to do with. And you say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? All I can tell you is this. Hey, man, I keep going back, and I keep going back and looking again, and looking again, and looking again. And then one of these fine days, that sweet Holy Ghost of God comes down, and all I know to tell you is there's a sound abundance when he shows up. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Aren't you glad for that?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it looks a little dry. We'll say, boy, somebody ought to go look again. We've gotten to the point where we say, listen, I'll tell you, you know that? Here's some of the things I think that probably messes us up. We've got old Elijah, and he tells us Ahab, or tells his little servant there, hey, he said, go look again. And I never find where he said, man, I got tired. I got tired of looking. Y'all ever get tired of looking? Now, don't lie to me. Let's not lie in the house of God. See, God can deal with it. Don't get quiet right there neither. Amen. Both those things make me nervous. I'm telling you, sometimes we get tired of looking. He'll say, man, I'm a looking. I'm a looking, thank God. And I ain't a finding. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm a helping me whether I'm a helping you or not. Amen. All I'm saying is this, sometimes it feels like nothing's happening. And while it seems like nothing's happening, that's when God's doing the most he's doing. Amen. You understand? Now listen. Now watch what we don't base what we believe. Now listen to me. I want everybody to hear me real carefully. Elijah was not just throwing this up on a wing in a prayer. This wasn't just something mystic that he was pulling out of the air like he was. You know how folks say, well, won't you pray that I hit the lottery? Well, that's dumb. I'm not going to pray for that. Amen. That's against the Bible, thank God. I'm not going to pray for that nonsense. But these folks say, well, won't you pray for that? Listen, there's nothing in the Bible. But I tell you, in 2 Kings chapter 1, God already said, if you'll go show yourself to Ahab, he said, then I'll answer with rain. Amen. In other words, Brother Dustin, he was just taking God at his word whenever he bowed his head and just believed what God said, and thank God, and even though he didn't see it at first, he just kept on believing God's word. Amen. I wish there's something in the Bible that would teach us about how sure God's word is. Wouldn't that be good? It'd be real good if there's maybe a whole chapter in the Bible just teaches us about the judgments and the statutes and the laws and the ordinance and the truth of God. Wouldn't that be real good? I'll tell you, it seems like it'd be so good, it'd probably be the longest chapter in your Bible. I'll tell you, the word of God would be so sure, it'd be almost like he'd put it in Hebrews chapter 6 and he'd say something to the effect, how much anchor we have of the soul, how both sure and steadfast. I'm just simply saying this, when it seems like things ain't happening, when it seems like there's nothing, just go look again. Go look again. Say how many times I need to look. I'll tell you what I'd do if I was you. I think I'd just keep looking. And one day, I've just... I'm just going to stop right there and just let that just settle in our hearts.
I think it's good for the house of God and for the people of God to say, I'm just going to be faithful to look. I think it's an insult to God not to look. Do you think that's right, Brother Coker? I think it's insulting to the Lord Jesus Christ for me to pray and not to look. And you say, well, you ain't seen it yet. Well, that's all right. Thank God. Hey, so many people in this church I prayed for. You ever prayed for anybody in this church, thank God, and it didn't look like nothing was happening until something was happening? Amen. Somebody help me right there. Don't die on me right there. Amen. I mean, these folks in this, I mean, listen, there's some folks in this room I can remember, and I'll just say things about folks that won't get mad at me. Will that be all right? Can I just help folks right now? I remember being in the old church, and the first time he walked in, old Gavin Cook come walking in the church, and Nathaniel Ender came back out, and he said, bro, that's Gavin Cook, which meant absolutely nothing to me. I didn't know what in the world that meant, but I'll tell you what it did show me. Hey, some folks had been praying for Gavin Cook, amen, and all of a sudden, the best I remember it, Brother Gavin can testify himself. Best I remember it, we made some copies of Brother Harold Slavin preaching, put on a CD, and that CD made it into Gavin Cook's hand. And he said, I believe I'll just go back to the house of God. And I can say this, we're running on 8 years now, still here. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God. I mean, I remember when I came, thank God, I met with Brother Wayne I. Park and Sister Sean many times. I said, what are we going to do about Hannah? I said, thank God, leave her alone and let her pray. Amen. And the Lord said, well, we don't want folks to get discouraged by it. I said, if they get discouraged by Hannah praying, tell them to get out. Amen. And just keep on seeking the Lord. That's the only thing I know to do. Amen. And then one fine day, I came down there and after seeking the Lord, how that faith met up with what she was seeking and salvation was imparted. Hey, listen, I'm just saying this. Just keep looking. Amen. Just keep looking. I'm telling, don't give up on folks. You say, preacher, no, no, does it look like nothing's happening? It looks like it's getting worse. Y'all ain't never been there. You ain't never prayed for somebody real hard. You get to praying for them, you say, Lord, you're going to help them. And instead of them getting help, it looks like it gets worse. And you say, Brother Kevin, why is it gets worse? That's usually what happens when God gets to deal in somebody's heart. Is that right or not right? They get hateful. Y'all's too spiritual for me tonight. What I'm saying's right. They get intolerable. You know why it is? They get to where they can't stand themselves. Can't stand themselves, can't stand you. Holy Ghost of God gets still in their heart. They get miserable where they're at. You know what I say? Pray on, amen. Pray on, thank God. I'm not offended by none of that, are you? Amen. I'm looking when things get like that, just any day for there to be a little hand come up. Amen, thank God. I'm telling you, listen, friend, sometimes it gets like that. Just keep looking. I think we need to look again, don't you think so? Then I thought about this. Sometimes you just need to think again. I'm not going to preach all this. I don't have time. I'm going to just try to mind the Lord the best I can. 2 Kings chapter 5. You go down through there and you get to reading. There's a man named Naaman. He's got real bad leprosy. You remember that story? Got real bad leprosy. And a little maid shows up at his house. She's a captive. She said, would to God that my master was back in Jerusalem. She said, there's a prophet there. Said he would help him, amen. And all of a sudden he comes down to King Ahab and he gets to tell him, he said, well, he said, I'm here. You need to heal me of leprosy. And thank God. And all of a sudden Elisha just gives him word and he says, go down there and wash in the, go dip yourself and wash yourself 7 times in the river Jordan and thou shalt be clean. And he stood up and he said, oh, he said, I thought he would have came out to me and clapped his hands over me or done a little something other. He said, are not the rivers in Damascus. He said, far apart. He said, much cleanseth. He said, thank God, why would I do that? And his little servant said, if he'd asked you to do something great, you'd have done it. I said, just go down and dip again. Amen. And the Bible said that he went down. You know, he felt like a fool. Amen. I'll tell you this. This makes me happy. Hey, Brother Dustin, you know that the Jordan is one of the muddiest rivers that there is. And now this is what I love about the Lord. The Lord made him go get in dirty water to get clean. Amen. Hey, thank God. And you say, preacher, that don't work like that. Oh, it does too. Everybody that's ever got saved by the grace of God, before they ever got clean, they had to realize how dirty they was. God don't clean nobody up that's not dirty first. I thank God Freddy gets down there and he dips down. Amen. And he comes up and he's still a leper. And he dips down and he comes up and he dips down. And he you know the kind of looks he had to look over. He's a look at this thing. And he said, ain't nothing happening. Then all of a sudden he goes down one more time. And when he comes up this time, and one of my favorite things, the Bible begins that story by saying, behold, I thought. And as it gets down to the end, it says, now I know. But I'm, praise God. Hey, sometimes, friend, I want you just to listen to me for just a minute. I want you to hear. Sometimes we just got to think again. Amen. And sometimes we get in that place and we say, God, you ain't doing nothing. God, it don't look like nothing's happening. But sometimes it's not a matter of what God's doing. It's a matter of what we're thinking. Amen. I mean, that old Naaman, he felt like there wasn't nothing much happening. But ain't it something, Rodney? Hey, listen, friend. Ain't it something that there's a God in heaven that put him around the right people? Amen. I mean, he didn't feel like God was doing nothing. But here this little maid comes out of that. And she's got good news. Here's what the Lord put in my heart when I studied on this. Aren't you glad God put you around some good people of God? How they'd help you in a time of need. Amen. I mean, I don't know about nobody else. But thank God, that's why I love the church. Amen. That's why I love coming to church. That's why I love testimonies. Hey, boy, that stuff helps me. Amen. And when folks stand up and get to talking about the Lord, hey, grab that mic and they start to sing that old Peg McCamey, that song for the God on the mountain, still God in the valley. It gets to helping my soul. Amen. Don't it help you? I mean, I love the people of God. I'm glad He'll put people around you just when you need them. He'll get you in the right people. He'll get you in the right place. He said, you can't get no help in Syria, but I know where you can get help. Listen, I don't know about nobody. You know why I come to church? I got to thinking about it. And one day I'm going to preach a whole message on the things that I've seen in the house of God. And it might take me, it might be a week's revival. It might be months. I just got to sit down. I got to thinking about all the things that I've seen in the house of God. I had a fella text me the other day, and honestly, I'd forgot it. He texted me the other day. He said, Brother Kevin, he said, do you remember when the night that, he said, Lacey Patton got saved, and he said, there several got right. He said, do you remember where you was at? And I said, well, I assume I was at church. I said, I halfway remember it. And he said, well, you was for some of it. He said, and you ended up out in the parking lot for the rest of it. And I got thinking about that, and I thought, I remember that. I remember that. Brother Doug, I didn't have no intentions to go out there. I tell you what got happening. We got around the people of God, and the Holy Ghost showed up. And I got to seeing, Brother Delmer, I got to seeing God doing some things in some folks' lives. And I got to thinking, man, and Brother Josh, sometimes it's, I mean, even just sitting here right now, sometimes it's almost overwhelming to my soul that God would let me be right where I'm at. Yeah, buddy. I mean, some of you, this is all you ever known. Y'all thank God for it. Yeah. But Brother Jordan, sometimes I just sit and I think, there's been times I've seen folks shout that, Miss Jane, I'll never forget as long as I live, right before Huey Hines went in the hospital. He sat right there. And God got real. And he just stood up. Bill Crabtree. I'll never forget when it was me and you and Amy and your girls and Nathaniel and Alyssa and Allie and Lily. And I didn't know what happened, but I got to standing up praising the Lord right there. And I looked up and Bill Crabtree standing right next to me and we was a shouting her out for the glory of God. About 4 o'clock. And Greg Jenkins came in the church. He was a preaching back there and I was a preaching up here. I've seen God do some things. I tell you what I've seen God do in this church. I'm trying to mind the Lord, but I may not never get to where I'm trying to get to, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord, all right? There's people that I've seen God put their whole marriage and their whole lives back together in this church. I've seen people that's had wounds that they've carried for years and years and years just all of a sudden get help and get joy back in their heart in this church. I've seen folks that have lost a song, lost a testimony, and can't remember the last time they rejoiced in the Lord. All of a sudden in one service, they just got to thinking again. I'll tell you what they got to thinking about. They got to looking back over their life. Boy, just like that old fella, that old Naaman, he said, well, that little girl was there. God got me around the right people, and then God got me around the right place. The only thing I had to do at that point is just get myself in the right position. You know what happened? God helped him. All right, I'm going to try to hush right here in just a second. But I want you to listen. You know what you need to do? You need to go look again. Sometimes you just need to think back again. It'll help you. Look at me and smile right there. It'll help you. It'll help you look back over your life. It'll help you. You know what it'll help you do? Listen, here's what I told Chase this. Chase, he lives in Oneida too. I got behind Chase the other day. I said, look in your rearview mirror, and I said, you'll see goodness. I was right behind him. That's Bible. Goodness and mercy was a following him. Everywhere I look, I see mercy covering up my mistakes, and I see grace giving me better than I deserve. Every time. You can look behind me, but you won't. I mean, there's not a trail behind me of sin. Something been taken care of. Is that right or not right? That's right. All right, let me give you last thing. Last thing I'm going to preach on, ladies, tonight. Go look again. Go think again. Remember that little lady, she had a barrel of meal? I thought, you know what it'd do some of us good? Just to reach in that thing again. We all know the story of the barrel of meal. You remember what happens right after the barrel of meal? I'm talking about right after God does something real big for her. You remember what happened? Her boy dies. He dies. He's dead. Dead. And I got thinking about that lady. Can you imagine? Even on the day she died, she had to eat, Brother Kevin. And they were still in a famine. And I thought, wouldn't it have been a blessing? I had them. I left mine at the house. But I'll tell you what some folks need to do. They just need to get their hand back down that barrel and just get to remembering what the Lord had done for them over and over and over again. I don't know how to open up your bowl. You give me a childproof bowl. Imagine just every time she just put her hand down in that thing. Now here, I don't know how you cook, but this is how I cook. Tammy, I bet you cook like this. As soon as she does like this, go just like that. And you get to looking down, you got, you know what that is all throughout your life? Just a reminder. It's a reminder that there was a time in that lady's life when there was a famine and it looked like death was on her. But every time she reached her hand down in that bowl, it was a reminder of how God took care of her even in the hardest time of her life. Now here's what I can tell you for sure, AJ. Even when her son was died, now listen to me. Even when her boy was dead, there's still meal in the barrel. Say, how do you know, preacher? Because her boy got resurrected on the third time. Somebody ought to help me preach on that right there. Elijah went up there and laid on him, and on the third time, his breath came back into him. That's a little foreshadowing in case you don't know. And you know what happened with him for many more days? Put her hand down that barrel. And she pulled that back up. Brother Dustin, she said, listen, I thought at one point in time it was just going to be for me. But that wasn't the promise God told her. Is that right, Brother John? I'm about to run on this. I don't know if you're with me or not. He said that that barrel would not waste. And she and her son and her house ate many days. And every time she had to go back in that thing. Now, I don't know where you stand at, but I'm going to tell you this. I've got some handfuls, and I keep them in my pocket. And from time to time, whenever it feels like God ain't doing nothing, it's a highlight, if you will, Brother Jones. It's a top 10 moments. Could I say it like that? And I pull that thing out, and I say, Lord, all I know is there was a time when I thought I was done for. And if you could feel my hand in that barrel then, why in the world would I think you wouldn't fill it up today? And so I just take my hand, and I go and I put it right back down in the barrel. And every time I do and I pull something else up, I'm reminded over and over again, God's still faithful. I'm just saying it looked like nothing was happening. Her boy's dead. No hope. Are you listening to me? She's not even trusting the man of God. She said, are you come to call my sins before me? Sometimes it's hard to get to where you can just believe anything. But I'll tell you what you can do. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be able to go reach your hand down in your bowl, pull that thing up, say, God's done it for me time and time and time again. I cleared my heart. Stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm done preaching. I don't know where you're at tonight. I'm going to say this. Maybe you're in that place where you need to look again. Maybe God's already been real good to you and you just need to think again. Maybe you're in that place, thank God, listen, friend. Just reach your hand back down in the barrel and ask God to remind you. One more time. Go ahead and play, honey. Folks come up and are praying.